the sick power. This is what Ezekiel 37 says. And he says, the hands of the Lord was upon me. And he carried me out into the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones. Listen to this, saints. And he caused me to pass by. He caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. So he's telling them what to do. He said, hear ye the words of the Lord. And verse 5, and it says, thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Sinew and flesh come on these bones, and skin. Then he prophesied to the four winds, and ye breathed, and came into them, and they lived. Saints of God, this is the power that the church has. God told him to prophesy to these bones. And when he prophesied to these bones, you know, the skin came on those bones. Sinew came on those bones. And then skin, flesh came, and then skin came. And then he prophesied, told them to prophesy to the four winds, and the breath came into them, and then they lived. Saints of God, the church has power. You know, we have the real power of God. And if we believe, we have unlimited power over the devil. But for this power to flow, we have to be obedient and we have to be committed to God. Our heart has to be toward God. God's church is one that is unstoppable. It has powers and ability, and it can't be stopped ever. Saints of God, we need to remember this, that we serve a God that's unstoppable. We are a church that's unstoppable. We have unlimited powers against Satan. So we need to begin to use those powers. And how do we do it? Let's get into the Word of God. Let's fast and pray. Go back to the old landmark. They used to fast and pray. That's what the disciples did. They fasted and they prayed, and the power of God came down like rain on them. So we can do the same thing. In order to have that power, we're going to have to fast, we're going to have to pray, and we're going to have to keep our lives clean and unspotted before God. Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to get your Bibles and stand to your feet. And I want to speak to the young people today as well as to the old, the young and the old. Now, I want those who are in the middle to hear me also. So that means I want us all to hear this word. But there is particular focus upon encouraging the young people as well as our senior saints. And if you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verse 12, I just want to read the first A clause, the first six words of that verse. It's found Joshua chapter 14 and verse 12. And the first six words, or the A clause of this verse, says, "Now, therefore, give me this mountain." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated in God's presence. "Now, therefore, give me this mountain." These words are spoken by an 85-year-old man to the leader of Israel at this time, Joshua, who has taken over after Moses, who has died and has been buried in Mount Nebo. And Joshua has been charged with taking the people over Jordan, and then when getting over into the promised land, to be able to divvy up, if you will, the land to the tribes of Israel. And this is a tale or a story or an account of a 85-year-old man who has been on the journey for quite a long time. And he heard the promise of God to Moses that wherever their feet shall trod, every place that they shall go shall be their land, that they shall make a mark, and that shall be their property. And Joshua was charged with being able to distribute the land properly. Part of it was done by lots, where they would pick and choose, and certain parcels of ground would be given to certain tribes. But Caleb wanted to remind Joshua that he had already previously scoped out and acted upon this mountain in this promised land called Mount Hebron. He had already staked his claim, but he couldn't get it until the proper time had come for, again, the distributing of the land. But he had fulfilled all the requirements of God. He had received the promise of God, and he was careful to hold on to that promise. One of the things he did not do since he was 25 years old was think that God had turned his back on him, God had failed him, God had forgotten about him. He knew that in God's time, everything God promised would come to pass. And so this man is unusual, because you will recognize this story goes back into the book of Numbers when Moses sent 12 men out to spy the land of Canaan. Joshua and Caleb were a team against the other 10. They brought back a positive report. The 10 brought back a negative report. Matter of fact, the Word of God calls it an evil report because it was not a report of faith. The 10 brought back a report of facts, but the two, Joshua and Caleb, brought back a report of faith. Joshua and Caleb had a short report, but those who brought back the evil report had a long report. They said, yes, Moses, we're here to make our report, and sir, we do want to state some facts. Fact number one, the land does flow with milk and honey. Fact number two, the houses are sealed, goodly houses. Fact number three, the city is walled or protected. Fact number four, a cluster of grapes required two men to carry them. They're so large. But also, fact number five, folk must have forgotten to tell you that there are giants in the land. And so we look like grasshoppers in our own sight against these giants. Joshua and Caleb said, sir, let us go up at once, for we are well able to take the land. End of report. Now, my brothers and sisters, you've got to see that the faith that Joshua and Caleb are functioning out of inspires Moses, that there are some still within, maybe just a fragment, maybe just a few, who believe that God said what he said, and he means what he means, and he will do what he promised he'll do. All we've got to do is trust him. And Caleb trusted God. The people who came out of Egypt and murmured and complained, walked around in the wilderness for 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. God fed them. God gave them water. And they still had reason to complain. To say to God, to Moses, you brought us out into this wilderness to let us and our children die? And 40 years, they walked around in a circle and didn't even know it. And every murmurer and every complainer and every person who talked behind Moses' back, who got in their groups and formed their own opinions, died in the wilderness. And you know those children they were talking about? Those children made it out. Everyone. The parents died, but the children lived. Because God wanted them to know that he's faithful to his people and he's faithful to his word. And those who have a negative report or response to God's word receive the wrath of God's power. And they did. Those who came out now were the recipients of the promised land and all of the bounty and the benefit that God had promised the people of Israel. And so they're there now. And Caleb is reminding Joshua that this mountain must not be put in the lottery for people to pick as a part of the homestead. This is separated from the rest of Canaan. As a matter of fact, Joshua and them had run out most of the element that was evil in the land, and the land was ready to be occupied. But guess where the giants ran? Into the mountains. And Caleb knew that the giants had run into the mountains. But Caleb did not mind that the giants had run up into the mountains, because just like they ran into the mountains, Caleb knew they were going to run out the mountains when he got his property deeded to him. He believed in God so much that he made clear, listen, I'm stronger at 85. As I was at 45. 40 years ago, when I was a much younger man, I need you to know that just because of my age, don't think that my strength, which is in God, which is his power and his source, had diminished any bit. As a matter of fact, it had grown stronger because he had become closer to God. And so he makes this statement, young people. I say this because I've seen, I've heard, I've experienced young people who want so much. If I were to tag this message, it would be tagged, I want more. I want more. Because Caleb wanted more than what everyone else was getting. Not because he thought he was all of that, but because he knew the faithfulness of his God, and he knew how God would reward those who were faithful to him. And he knew that God would honor his word, and he did what God said to do. And as a result of that, he not only desired that mountain, but because he honored God and obeyed God, he deserved that mountain. And not only did he deserve that mountain, but my brothers and sisters, when he stood before Joshua with all of the leaders of the tribe of Judah, he wanted to make clear, this is no backdoor dealing. This is no underhanded dealing. I'm not trying to do this and leave everybody else out. I have walked rightly upright before God and before men, and I have honored him, and I have honored his word, and therefore I am worthy of what I have asked God for. And God promised me, if I would be obedient to him, that he would give me this mountain, and I have done so. So he's at the point three where now he's able to demand it, and nobody had an objection to it. You see, when you walk right before God and live right before God, folk might not like what God blesses you with, but it ain't nothing they can do about it. See, when you honor God, God honors you. And there are others who don't like God honoring you, but one of the things you've got to realize is when God speaks, he does not take a recommendation from nobody else. You do what God say do. Watch what God do in return. And no matter who likes it or don't like it, they can't do a thing about it. So listen at this. One, he desired the mountain. But not only did he desire the mountain, because the Bible says, Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He knew that this was a God connection. He knew that God wanted him to have this mountain. It was the will of God for him, and he connected with that. So he desired what God wanted him to have. This was a major place. This made a major statement, but he made a major commitment to God and showed himself faithful. And so when that happened, God said, you are right. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. Young people, it's all right to want more, but you got to learn it just don't fall into your lap. That's what I wanted to say to the young people, that it's all right to be, to desire, to want to be or to become what you ought to and the best that you can be, to have, to go, to experience, to live, to rise as high as you can. But don't think it's going to happen overnight without some responsibility on your part. I see parents giving children everything they want with no responsibility connected to what they give them. No work, no responsibility, no role. Mama, daddy, I want, okay. They get it. So they grow up thinking the world owes them something. They go up thinking they can just say it and it's theirs. Name it and claim it. No benefit of responsibility at all. Children who have the best of what you had to be out of your parents' house, out of college, working a job to get, and they get while they're still in high school. Let me tell you something. A parent has the right to provide and provide at whatever level they're able to provide, or that's their children or that's their child. They're able to do that. But make sure when you bless them with things that go beyond necessity, that you help them to understand this requires you to do something. Listen. Getting good grades is what you're supposed to do. I'm not going to reward you for getting good grades just to get good grades. You're getting good grades so that you can make something of your life and become what you want to become. But when you do the best and excel to the top level of your ability, now, because let me be clear with you. Every child isn't an A student, isn't an AB student. Some of them ain't even a C student. They can barely see their way out of it. And many of you who've been blessed by God have just seen your way out of things and have done well, have done well. But that was the top of your level where you were able to go. But what I'm going to reward you for is doing your best, doing your best. And so when I go beyond the necessity and give you the accessories, it's because you have shown me that you've been obedient. You've shown me you've done your chores. You've shown me that you have applied yourself to your study. You've shown me that you've shown each and every class participant how you're going to be the right kind of classmate, the right kind of student. You're going to show the teacher that you've come from a good family, that you have good manners, you have good conduct. You're going to do your part. And when I bless you, it's going to be because you have shown yourself worthy. And when you grow up, you then start to associate those things together. But I got news: when you learn to give, 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 and don't connect responsibility, they want men and women then to give. And the wrong men and the wrong women start giving them with no responsibility. But I got news for you. The devil don't give anything away for free. And if you don't teach them that at home, what makes you think the world is going to teach them that? So one of the things that I need to look at, and I'm going to close this message very simply, because it requires a lot of reading to understand this full story. But just hear me when I tell you, there are some points I hope that you jot down and that you take the time and go back and read this story. I told you one, he desired what God wanted him to desire. He honored the word of God and obeyed God, so he deserved what he had asked God for, and God promised him. And thirdly, you're going to discover that he had a right to demand that he receive what had been reserved for him. Now, I don't know if you heard that, but I need you to understand there's a principle at play here. You see, even from God, you can put him in remembrance to the things he has promised you. That if you do your part, and once you have done your part and obeyed God and fulfilled his commandment to you, you have a right to say, God, I've done mine. Now I'm waiting on you to do your part. You said in your word you would do thus and so for me. And I'm waiting on you. You said you're not a man that you should lie. So therefore, I'm believing you're going to do it, and you're going to do it as you promised me. Now, I want you to see something else about it. Because one, Caleb was a faithful man. Somebody say faithful. He was a faithful man because, listen, this promise was over 40 years in the making. It didn't just happen one day. The day you heard him say, now therefore give me this mountain, that wasn't the first time this thing came up. But this was the time where Caleb is saying, it's time for it to be delivered to me. Because he was faithful. But for some 40 plus years, he was also focused. He was focused. He didn't vacillate from this to that. He walked a straight line. He did what he was supposed to do. He helped and supported and encouraged. He believed and he did everything that was supposed to have been done because he knew the day was coming when he would receive the promise of the Lord, and he stayed focused on that promise. Focus. You see, some of us lose focus when we don't get it when we want it, or don't show up at the time we think it ought to show up, or Lord, we're at the bottom of the barrel and you're not doing anything about it. Well, that ain't when God said he was going to show up. God is faithful and he's going to show up when it's his time to show up. And you got to stay focused on the fact that God is faithful himself. And look at what he did. Because he was faithful and focused, he forged his future in favor. Let me say it again. He forged. In other words, stuff that was in the way that wasn't like it should have been, he began to beat it into place. He began to make sure that didn't look like what it was supposed to look like. He kept on working on it until it became what it was supposed to look like. It's like a man who works with steel, takes a piece of raw steel, and he forges a sword out of that steel. The steel may be a long, slender, square part, but by the time he puts it in the fire, takes his hammer and beats on the end of it and gives it shape on the end and gives it a tip to it, and then goes down that line and begins to file it out and forge it in every way and make a handle on it to make it a sword. He took a piece of raw iron and forged a sword out of it. God gives you a future, but you've got to have sense enough to forge your future out of what God has given you. All of us are not the same. Take what God has given you and forge your future out of it. You might want to sing. God hasn't given you a voice to sing. But God has given you a voice to speak. Forge your future out of speaking, not singing, because that ain't what you can do. You see somebody else who's gifted in this area.